I had a real horror show night's sleep, brothers, with no dreams at all, and the morning was very clear and like frosty, and there was the very pleasant like von of breakfast frying away down below. It took me some little time to remember where I was, as it always does, but it soon came back to me, and then I felt like warm and protected. But as I laid there in the bed, waiting to be called down to breakfast, it struck me that I ought to get to know the name of this kind, protecting and like motherly Vec. So I had a pad round in my Nadjoy Nogas, looking for A Clockwork Orange, which would be bound to have his Emia in, he being the author. There was nothing in my bedroom except a bed and a chair and a light, so I itted next door to this Vec's own room, and there I vidded his wife on the wall, a bolshy, blown-up photo, so I felt a malenky bit sick remembering. But there were two or three shelves of books there too, and there was, as I thought there must be, a copy of A Clockwork Orange, and on the back of the book, like on the spine, was the author's Emia, F. Alexander. Good bog, I thought, he's another Alex. Then I leafed through, standing in my pyjamas and bare nogas, but not feeling one malenky bit cold, the cottage being warm all through, and I could not vidy what the book was about. It seemed written in a very bazoomny-like style, full of R and O and all that cow. But what seemed to come out of it was that all ludies nowadays were being turned into machines, and that they were really, you and me and him and Kiss My Sherry's, more like a natural growth, like a fruit. F. Alexander seemed to think that we all like grow on what he called the world tree in the world orchard that like Bog or God planted, and we were there because Bog or God had need of us to quench his thirsty love or some such cow. I didn't like the shoom of this at all, I, my brothers, and I wondered how bazoomny this F. Alexander really was, perhaps driven bazoomny by his wife snuffing it. But then he called me down in a light sane Vec's gloss, full of joy and love and all that cow, so down your humble narrator went. "You've slept long," he said, ladling out boiled eggs and pulling black toast from under the grill. "It's nearly 10 already. I've been up for hours, working."
"Writing another book, sir?" I said.
"No, no, not that now," he said. And we sat down nice and droogy to the old crack, crack, crack of eggs and crackle, crunch, crunch of this black toast, very milky chai standing by in bolshy great morning mugs. "No, I've been on the phone to various people."
"I thought you didn't have a phone," I said,
spooning egg in and not watching out what I was saying. "Why?" he said, very alert, like some scorry animal with an egg spoon in its rooker. "Why shouldn't you think I have a phone?"
"Nothing," I said, "nothing,
nothing." And I wondered, brothers, how much he remembered of the earlier part of that distant notchy, me coming to the door with the old tale and saying to phone the doctor, and she saying, "No phone." He took a very close smot at me, but then went back to being like kind and cheerful and spooning up the old eggy-weg. Munching away, he said, "Yes, I've rung up various people who will be interested in your case. You can be a very potent weapon, you see, in ensuring that this present evil and wicked government is not returned in the forthcoming election. The government's big boast, you see, is the way it has dealt with crime these last months." He looked at me very close again over his steaming egg, and I wondered again if he was vidying what part I had so far played in his jeezney. But he said, "Recruiting brutal young roughs for the police, proposing debilitating and will-sapping techniques of conditioning, all these long slovos, brothers, and a like mad or bazoomny look in his glazies. We've seen it all before," he said, "in other countries, the thin end of the wedge. Before we know where we are, we shall have the full apparatus of totalitarianism." Dear, 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 I thought, egging away and toast crunching. I said,
Where do I come into all this, sir? You, he said, still with this presumed look, are a living witness to these diabolical proposals. The people, the common people, must know, must see. He got up from his breakfast and started to walk up and down the kitchen from the sink to the light larder, saying, very grumpy, would they like their sons to become what you, poor victim, have become? Will not the government itself now decide what is and what is not crime and pump out the life and guts and will of whoever sees fit to displease the government? He became quieter but did not go back to his egg. I've written an article, he said, this morning while you were sleeping, that will be out in a day or so together with your unhappy picture. You shall sign it, poor boy, a record of what they've done to you. I said, and what do you get out of all this, sir? I mean, besides the pretty Polly you'll get for the article, as you call it. I mean, why are you so hot and strong against this government, if I may make like so bold as to ask? He gripped the edge of the table and said, gritting his zubies, which were very callow and all stained with cancer smoke, some of us have to fight. There are great traditions of liberty to defend. I am no partisan man. Where I see the infamy, I seek to erase it. Party names mean nothing. The tradition of liberty means all. The common people will let it go. Oh, yes. They will sell liberty for a quieter life. That is why they must be prodded, prodded. And here, brothers, he picked up a fork and stuck it two or three razzes into the wall so that it all got bent. Then he threw it on the floor. Very kindly, he said, eat well, poor boy, poor victim of the modern world. And I could vidi quite clear he was going off his Gulliver. Eat, eat, eat my egg as well. But I said, and what do I get out of this? Do I get cured of the way I am? Do I find myself able to slushy the old choral symphony without being sick once more? Can I live like a normal Jeezney again? What, sir, happens to me? He looked at me, brothers, as if he hadn't thought of that before. And anyway, it didn't matter compared with liberty and all that cow, and he had a look of surprise at me saying what I said, as though I was being like selfish in wanting something for myself. Then he said, oh, as I say, you're a living witness, poor boy. Eat up all your breakfast, and then come and see what I've written, for it's going into the Weekly Trumpet under your name, you unfortunate victim. Well, brothers, what he had written was a very long and very weepy piece of writing, and as I read it, I felt very sorry for the poor Malchick who was gover-eating about his sufferings and how the government had sapped his will and how it was up to all ludies to not let such a rotten and evil government rule them again. And then, of course, I realised that the poor suffering Malchick was none other than Y.H.N. Very good, I said. Real horror show. Written well thou hast, O sir. And then he looked at me very narrow and said, what? It was like he had not slushied me before. Oh, that, I said, is what we call Nadsat talk. All the teens use that, sir. So then he itted off to the kitchen to wash up the dishes, and I was left in these borrowed night platties and twofles, waiting to have done to me what was going to be done to me, because I had no plans for myself. While the great F. Alexander was in the kitchen, a ding-a-ling-a-ling came at the door. Ah, he creaked, coming out wiping his rookers, it will be these people, I'll go. So he went and let them in, a kind of rumbling ha-ha-ha of talk and hello and filthy weather and how are things in the hallway. Then they itted into the room with the fire and the books and the article about how I had suffered, vidying me and going, ah, as they did it. There were three ludies, and F. Alex gave me their emias. Z. Dolin was a very wheezy, smoky kind of a vec, coughing, kush, 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 with the end of a cancer in his rot, spilling ash all down his platties and then brushing it away with, like, very impatient rookers. He was a malenki round Vec, fat, with big, thick-framed otches on. Then there was something-something Rubenstein, a very tall and polite Chelovec with a real gentleman's gloss, very starry, with a, like, eggy beard. And lastly, there was D.B. da Silva, who was like scorry in his movements and had this strong von of scent coming from him. They all had a horror show look at me and seemed like overjoyed with what they vidded. Zed Dolin said,
all right, eh? What a superb device he can be, this boy. If anything, of course, he could, for preference, look even iller and more zombie-ish than he does. Anything for the cause. No doubt we can think of something.
I did not like that crack about zombie-ish brothers, and so I said, what goes on, Bratties? What dost thou in mind for thy little droog have? And then F. Alexander swooshed in with,
strange, strange, that manner of voice pricks me. We've come into contact before, I'm sure we have.
And he brooded, like frowning. I would have to watch this, oh my brothers. D.B. da Silva said,
public meetings, mainly. To exhibit you at public meetings will be a tremendous help. And, of course, the newspaper angle is all tied up. A ruined life is the approach. We must inflame all hearts.
He showed his 30-odd zubies, very white against his dark-coloured litzo. He looked a malenki bit like some foreigner. I said,
nobody will tell me what I get out of all this. Tortured in jail, thrown out of my home by my own parents and their filthy, overbearing lodger, beaten by old men, and near killed by the Millicents. What is to become of me?
The Rubenstein Vec came in with,
you will see, boy, that the party will not be ungrateful. Oh, no. At the end of it all, there will be some very acceptable little surprise for you. Just you wait and see.
There's only one Vesh I require, I creeched out, and that is to be normal and healthy as I was in the starry days, having my malenki bit of fun with real droogs and not those who just call themselves that and are really more like traitors. Can you do that, eh? Can any Vec restore me to what I was? That's what I want, and that's what I want to know.
Cash, 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 coughed this Zed Dolin. A martyr to the cause of liberty, he said. You have your part to play, and don't forget it. Meanwhile, we shall look after you.
And he began to stroke my left rooker as if I was like an idiot, grinning in a bazoomny way. I creeched, stop treating me like a thing that's like got to be just used. I am not an idiot you can impose on, you stupid Brechneys. Ordinary Prestupniks are stupid, but I am not ordinary, and nor am I dim. Do you, Slushy?
Dim, said F. Alexander, like musing. Dim. That was a name somewhere. Dim.
Eh? I said. What's dim got to do with it? What do you know about dim? And then I said, oh, bog help us.
I didn't like the look in F. Alexander's glasses. I made for the door, wanting to go upstairs and get my platties and then itty off.
I could almost believe, said F. Alexander, showing his stained zubies, his glasses, mad. But such things are impossible, for by Christ, if he were, I'd tear him, I'd split him. By God, yes, yes, so I would.
There, said D.B. da Silva, stroking his chest like he was a doggy to calm him down. It's all in the past. It was other people altogether. We must help this poor victim. That's what we must do now, remembering the future and our cause.
I'll just get my platties, I said, at the stair foot, that is to say, clothes, and then I'll be ittying off all on my oddy knocky. I mean, my gratitude for all, but I have my own G's need to live, because, brothers, I wanted to get out of here real scorry. But Zed Dolin said,
No, we have you, friend, and we keep you. You come with us. Everything will be all right, you'll see.
And he came up to me, like to grab hold of my rooker again. Then, brothers, I thought of fight, but thinking of fight made me, like, want to collapse and sick, so I just stood. And then I saw this, like, madness in F. Alexander's glasses and said,
whatever you say, I'm in your rookers. But let's get it started and all over, brothers, because what I wanted now was to get out of this mess, though, called home. I was beginning not to like the light look of the glazies of F. Alexander one malenki bit.
Good, said this Rubenstein. Get dressed and let's get started.
Dim, 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 F. Alexander kept saying in a light low mutter. What or who was this dim? I itted upstairs real scorry and dressed in near 2 seconds flat. Then I was out with these three and into an auto. Rubenstein one side of me and Zed Dolan coughing. Cash, 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 the other side. D.B. De Silva doing the driving. Into the town and to a flat block, not really all that distant from what had used to be my own flat block or home.
Come, boy, out, said Zed Dolan, coughing to make the cancer end in his rot glow red like some malenki furnace. This is where you should be installed.
So we itted in, and there was like another of these dignity of labour veshes on the wall of the vestibule, and we upped in the lift, brothers, and then we went into a flat like all the flats of all the flat blocks of the town, very, very malenki, with 2 bedrooms and 1 live-eat-work room, the table of this all covered with books and papers and ink and bottles and all that. Here is your new home, said D.B. De Silva. Settle here, boy. Food is in the food cupboard. Pyjamas are in the drawer. Rest, rest, perturbed spirit. Eh? I said, not quite ponying that. All right, said Rubenstein with his starry galos.
We are now leaving you. Work has to be done. We'll be with you later. Occupy yourself as best you can.
One thing, coughed Zed Dolan. Cash, cash. Yes, you saw what stirred in the tortured memory of our friend F. Alexander. Was it, by any chance? That is to say, did you? I think you know what I mean. We won't let it go any further.
I've paid, I said. Bog knows I've paid for what I did. I've paid not only for like myself, but for those Brachneys too that called themselves my droogs. I felt violent, so then I felt a bit sick. I'll lay down a bit, I said. I've been through terrible, terrible times.
You have, said D.B. De Silva, showing all his 30 zubies. You do that.
So they left me, brothers. They itted off about their business, which I took to be about politics and all that cow, and I was on the bed, all on my oddy knocky, with everything very, very quiet. I just laid there, with my sabogs kicked off my nogas and my tie loose, like all bewildered and not knowing what sort of a jeezney I was going to live now. And all sorts of, like, pictures kept, like, passing through my gulliver of the different Cheleveks I'd met at school and in the stadger and the different veshes that had happened to me, and how there was not one vet you could trust in the whole Bolshy world. And then I, like, dozed off, brothers. When I woke up, I could slushy music coming out of the wall, real grumpy, and it was that that had dragged me out of my bit of, like, sleep. It was a symphony that I knew, real horror show, but had not slushied for many a year, namely the Symphony No. 3 of the Danish feck Otto Skadelig, a very grumpy and violent piece, especially in the first movement, which was what was playing now. I slushied for 2 seconds in, like, interest and joy, but then it all came over me, the start of the pain and the sickness, and I began to groan deep down in my kishkas, and then there I was, me who had loved music so much, crawling off the bed and going, oh, 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 to myself, and then bang, bang, banging on the wall, creeching, stop, stop it, turn it off, but it went on. And it seemed to be, like, louder, so I crashed at the wall till my knuckles were all red, red, crovy and torn skin, creeching and creeching, but the music did not stop. Then I thought I had to get away from it, so I lurched out of the malenki bedroom and itted scurry to the front door of the flat, but this had been locked from the outside and I could not get out.
and all the time the music got more and more grumpy, like it was all a deliberate torture, oh my brothers. So I stuck my little fingers real deep in my ukos, but the trombones and kettle drums blasted through grumpy enough, so I creeched again for them to stop and went hammer, hammer, hammer on the wall, but it made not one malenky bit of difference. Oh, what am I to do? I boo-hooed to myself. Oh, bog in heaven, help me! I was like wandering all over the flat in pain and sickness, trying to shut out the music and like groaning deep out of my guts. And then, on top of the pile of books and papers and all that cowl that was on the table in the living room, I vidded what I had to do and what I had wanted to do until those old men in the public biblio and then Dim and Billy Boy, disguised as Rosses, stopped me. And that was to do myself in. To snuff it, to blast off forever out of this wicked and cruel world. What I vidded was the Slovo, Death, on the cover of a light pamphlet, even though it was only Death to the Government, and like it was fate that there was another light Malenki booklet which had an open window on the cover, and it said, "Open the window to fresh air, fresh ideas, a new way of living." And so I knew that it was like telling me to finish it all off by jumping out. One moment of pain, perhaps, and then sleep forever and ever and ever. The music was still pouring in, all brass and drums and the violins miles up through the wall. The window in the room where I had laid down was open. I itted to it, and vidded a fair drop to the autos and buses and walking Cheloviks below. I creeched out to the world, "Goodbye, goodbye, may Bog forgive you for a ruined life." Then I got onto the sill, the music blasting away to my left, and I shut my glasses and felt the cold wind on my litso. Then I jumped.